for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. So all ministry involves edification, either directly or indirectly. Edification should be the end result of ministry, that the church is being built up. There's something happening that's strengthening Jesus' body. And the effect of true ministry is edification. So whether it's evangelism that adds people in, or it's another ministry that builds them up once they're in, it's all edification. Verse 13 explains how long we're going to be occupied at this. It says, till we all come. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, my observation is that we're not there yet. How many know what I'm talking about? Look around the church and the body of Christ, see things that are happening, and say, I don't think we're quite there yet. But God has a plan to mature his church. So we recognize that. We see that there's more work to be done. So that gives us encouragement to know that we should continue. And Paul continues on. He says that we should no longer be children. So part of the goal here is that we're no longer immature, that we're no longer like children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, you can tell kids things and they just tend to believe it. Unfortunately, what I have found over the years is sometimes charismatic people are the most gullible people on the planet. And unfortunately, some people take advantage of that. And they feed the church a narrative that basically is self-serving. Now, that's not good leadership. It's self-serving leadership, and it's wrong, but it does happen. And so, as the body of Christ, we want no longer to be children tossed to and fro, blown by this doctrine, blown by this doctrine. How many know that God's already charted a course? Yeah. He's already charted the course for the church. And when the wind blows you off, it's getting you off into something that God never really had in his heart, never intended. It's just going to mess you up. It's going to take you off course. And, you know, you might have to turn around and you've wasted some time and you've lost some momentum and you have to get back into the mainstream. I think a number of years ago, back in around 2008, 2009, in around there somewhere, there was something happening down in the state of Florida. And some of you might remember that some people were proclaiming revival, and it was on a network called God TV. Anybody have a recollection of that at all? God TV, Florida. Okay, Lakeland, Florida. And so there was a Canadian guy who was apparently an evangelist and moving in signs and wonders. And there was people in our church that was who were watching this every day. And I was checking in, watching it, and at one point, I recall there was an ordination service for this evangelist. Now, there was thousands upon thousands of people that were coming from all over the world. And they were going to these services, and this guy was the main guy. And he this Canadian evangelist from BC. And he was, leading the meetings. And there was three measurements of a true move of God that I did not see in those meetings. And so I just said, the jury is out on this for me, and I don't care who is endorsing him. I don't see what I think I should see. So I had people in my church coming saying, Pastor, when are we going to get in on this? When are we going to take a group down there? When are we going to fly down there? When are we going to drive down there? We need to get in on this. We need to get in. And I just said, well, look, I'll tell you can do whatever you want, but I'm telling you, I am not diving into this anytime soon. So if you don't trust me, you go and do what you want, but I'm not convinced. And so one night I remember there was this ordination, and I won't name, but there was just every big name that you could name in the church world in America on this platform. And they're all going to lay hands on this guy and ordain him. Well, they did that, and there was prophecy and heavy hitters prophesying over this guy. And you know what? All the time, he was in an adulterous affair during the whole time. So how do high-level leaders get so sucked into something? And to me, it is characteristic of the charismatic movement. We are so want something, and we so desire something, that many times we will just go along with something if it even has some appearance that, you know, maybe God's doing something over there. Instead of kind of pulling back and saying, look, God doesn't want us to be like children tossed to and fro by every wind. You know, some winds will get into your sail and advance you, but other winds will blow you off course. So you need to discern the winds. After that happened, I did about a 10-week teaching on discerning the winds. Like, hey, church, we need to be discerning. How do we discern the winds? What wind is going to advance us, and what wind is going to blow us off course? And so it's a challenge, isn't it? Because he says here that there's cunning craftiness involved here. There's deception. And there was deception in this guy. He was deceiving all his leaders, who some of them went way out on a limb to stand up for him and defend him and saying, we know him, we know his marriage, we know his family. Well, they didn't know jack squat of what was going on in his life. So we have to grow up into him in all things, who is the head, Christ. And how we do that is by speaking the truth in love. So my point here is that, you know, before we go up, we have to grow up. A major contributing factor to edification or growing is that the truth is being spoken in love. One of the huge issues of our current culture today, what's happening in our world today, is the relativistic forging of so-called truth. I was reading, there's one guy I follow on Instagram, been following him for a few years. He's absolutely brilliant. I mean, the guy is brilliant. And most of what I like about him is just he communicates things from very unique angles. However, I've noticed in the last year or so that every so often it seems like he's, getting blown off course a little bit. And so recently, about a few weeks ago, I saw this post where he was talking about, you know, expressing your truth. And I thought, your truth? You mean my truth? What am I, manufacturing it? I've got a little machine back here, and I'm manufacturing my truth, and the world needs to hear my truth? Back when Jan was sharing this morning about when, you know, our salvation experience and when we came to the Lord, I remember back in those days, almost every second or third song that we sang in church had the word truth in it somewhere. Do you know what? You would have a hard time finding the word truth in any current worship songs. Think about it. Do you know why? Because you've got a woke songwriting culture who've thrown that word out because they're not convinced of truth. And so in our songs, we're not singing about truth, but you know what? If you want to edify the body of Christ, you have to feed it truth. I've seen, I think it was Country here today with a little, there is. You got a little infant, right? What did you say, a month old or a couple weeks, 2 weeks? Yeah, how many know that if they don't feed that baby, you know, just exactly what it needs, it's going to have problems? The same thing is with the church. We need truth. The church grows through truth in love. Yes. Truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, we grow up into him. Listen, John chapter 14, 6, Jesus is the way,
the truth,
and the life. He's the truth. Truth is a person. And any so-called truth that deviates from the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God is not truth. It's something else. It's another message. So we need, as the church, to understand that. Jesus is the way, the truth and life. John 17, 17, in the prayer of Jesus, he says, Father, your word is? Your word is truth. And he sanctifies us with his truth. The Father's delighted, 3 John 4, the Father's delighted when his children walk in. Are you walking in truth? If you're walking in truth, the Father's delighted. He's not delighted when you're wondering if it is true. You know, that's not faith. Faith, we have a message. We have a message. And listen, I know this sounds extremely, it may seem very narrow, but Jesus said narrow is the way, you know. And straight is the path and narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting life. But broad is the way that leads to perdition. So it's a broad way that goes the wrong way. And it's a narrow road. It's truth. It's exclusive. It's an exclusive message. The message of the gospel is exclusive. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by him. If you're sitting here tonight and you're hearing this, and there's a little bit of cringe in you, you've already slid a little bit away from truth. That's why we need to continually to reinforce what is truth. Father delights when his children walk in truth. What, their truth? My truth? Your truth? Everybody's truth? We all have a different truth? Listen to this. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul writes to Timothy, and he's instructing him as his protege in ministry, and he's saying, listen, this is what the church is. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. The church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Not personal opinion, certainly not the shifting sands of cultural values. That's not what we're about. We're all about the truth. And the truth is a person. It's Jesus. Can you say amen? So if the church is not speaking the truth, then where in the world are people going to find it? If we're backing away from the truth and we're being hedged in, well, we don't believe this anymore, we don't want to tell people that, it's unpopular. Well, guess what? In the first century, Christianity was not popular, but it sure made an incredible impact. The forces of the Judaism and the forces of the Roman Empire tried to crush the church. But you know what? Didn't work. They just kept speaking the truth in love. And they kept walking in that truth. It was experiential. The word was made flesh in them. They became the purveyors of truth. And what Paul said was true, that they became, the church became the pillar and ground of truth on planet Earth. And truth brings us into alignment. You know, Jesus said this in John 8:32, that you shall know. Say it again. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. Well, people can be offended at truth, but it doesn't make it any less effective. It's the truth that made me free. I believed all kinds of weird things. Yeah. I was into the Baha'i faith. I was into, I won't get into it all. I was into a lot of really crazy stuff. But the bottom line is, you know, it was the truth that made me free. It was the truth that literally liberated my heart and brought me to a place where I could love God, love myself, love others. And I was telling Jan a story yesterday. I was just sharing, you know, I said, do you remember this guy in our church? Like way back at the very beginning, like year one when we got saved. And she said, oh, yeah, I remember him. And I said, you know, I just couldn't love that guy. I just, like, there was just something that was like oil and water. And I remember praying, just, you know, as a young Christian, just saying, Lord, I just really find it hard to love that guy in any way, shape, or form. But I know that you love him. So, Lord, would you just please implant your love within me? The love that you have for him, would you please put that in me so I can love my brother? And you know what? I never had a problem after that. It was just, you know, understanding that the truth that God loves everybody. And God has love. So you might find somebody that you don't naturally click with or connect with, but the truth is God loves them. So by going into that truth, I was set free from my own preferences and my likes or dislikes of people. I was set free to love people for who they were. Amen? So, yeah. Truth is different than, decidedly different than, you know, whipping people into an emotional experience or whipping them up into some type of hype. The church has been hyped, especially, if you don't mind me saying, the last 15 or 20 years, in particularly what I call the attractional models of church, hyping people, you know, just, you know, just blowing them up with just really basically a lot of hype. And what I love about a generation of people today is that they're hungry for truth. They're not afraid of someone just telling them the truth. They want to hear the truth. They've been hyped up to hear, and they're tired of it. And they can tell that they can discern the difference. They say, that's hype. That's just hype. They're just blowing you up and inflating you so that they think that if they keep you emotionally whipped up, you'll stay with them. Well, that's not what the church is all about. We're not a hype venue. But truth brought with love brings us into an alignment. And that alignment is where we can ultimately see God's best and highest purposes fulfilled in our lives. You know, when you're not in alignment with God's truth in any particular area of your life, when you're not in alignment, God cannot bring to you his highest and his best. Now, it's not that he doesn't want to. It's that he can't because you're not in alignment. But truth brings us into that alignment. And in that alignment, we can experience his highest and his best for every area of your life. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
So the work of edification starts by speaking the truth in love. And when the church backs away from truth, we delay the maturation process and we wind up with something that isn't what Jesus had in mind. It's like a stunted, immature bride. And I referenced this morning where, you know, we know that from the book of Revelation that there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. And, you know, when people get married, it's customary to have a massive celebration, right? Some of the biggest celebrations we go to are marriages where people get married and there's a big dinner and everybody dresses up nice. And it's a big party and we're all happy. And it's really cool. This couple are making a covenant and they're coming into marriage and we celebrate that. We bring our gifts. We bless them. Well, think about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus Christ, you know, the bridegroom, comes out of his chamber and everybody's like, wow, you know, it's far greater than I ever thought it would be. He's the Son of God. And then the veil's pulled back, and there's this little tiny bride kind of limping out. I made it. You know, and, you know, her clothes are kind of all ripped up and torn, and her hair's a mess, and, you know, she's... I think Jesus is going to marry someone who is the same stature. That's why the church has to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Because she's going to be joined to him, going to be his bride. And so this is where edification takes us. Edification takes us into maturity. It takes us into growing. It takes us into development. So... you know, this word edification sprinkled throughout the letters of Paul because he understood this. And it's an important aspect of our fellowship with one another that we, you know, we all need edification. We all need to be built up. I need to be built up. I need to be edified. I feel like I spend a lot of time seeking the edification of others, but I need edification. That's why your pastors and us, we go to MFI conferences and other places where we can just... you know, take off the pastor hat and be a sheep and just get edified, just get blessed, just get ministered to, prayed for, have some rich fellowship with other leaders and just hang out and just you know, get what we need to go back and pour it back into the church. We all need edification. And so Paul makes this distinction also when it comes to edification in terms of whether we're just, you know, blowing air into people or whether we're really giving them something substantial. In 1 Corinthians 8:1, he says, we know we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So the occupation of people who love is edification. People who love the church, love God, are always all about, at any, whatever disposal they have, whatever is at their disposal, they will use for the edification to build people up. So what does that look like? How can we bring edification? I just want to bring some thoughts here. When someone's hurting or wounded or confused and we come alongside, kind of like the story where I was talking last night, so this person was kind of confused and they were beating up on themselves and they were wounded, you know, coming alongside, praying truth over them. Again, not hyping them, but speaking the truth to them in love. And sometimes the truth will confront them. Hello? You can't be afraid of that. The truth will sometimes confront people. Sometimes I hear people praying prayers over people, and I just go, what are they thinking? You know, pray truth over people. You know, speak the truth in love. We can share our testimonies with people and recall times that we've been in a similar trial or facing similar challenges, a similar giant that the Lord helped us slay in our life. And we can talk to them about that and say, hey, you know, I remember a time in my life where I faced that same challenge, and this is what God did, this is what the Lord showed me, and this is how I got past that. I slew that giant and moved on. Amen? And so that's a good way to share the truth with people and let them know that God's there for them. He's going to show up in their life. We can speak truth to challenges and setbacks by letting people know who they are in Christ. You know, sometimes the enemy is trying to intimidate people, which is one of his major tools to intimidate the church. And we need to stand and say, look, you are God's people. God's hand is upon you. Jesus is in you. You belong to him, and he is in you. And the roar of a lion and the strength and the power of God is with you and in you. And you need to stand your ground and believe that God is going to work for you. Amen?
Amen.
You know, remind people, the voice of a champion is in you. So put everything else aside and let the truth come roaring out of you and speak to that situation. Speak truth to it. You know, another thing in particular that I find in working with people that I'm training or working with for leadership is when people ask your opinion, ask how you feel about an important issue. We all have opinions, but I just say to my leaders, give them the truth. Just sidestep your opinion and give them the truth. And if you don't know what to say, just say, hey, you know what? I'll get back to you on that. And then go back, investigate it, find out what the Word has to say, and go and put the Word on people. When people come with trouble and need counsel, a lot of people need counseling. Listen, the best counsel you can give them is put the Word on them and let them wrestle with it. We're so afraid that, well, you know, we're trying to protect people from the truth now. We don't want to be too truthful with them, you know, because, you know, the truth might hurt them. No, they will wrestle with that truth. Put it on them. Let them wrestle with it. The Holy Spirit will witness to their heart that this is the truth, and they need to obey it and walk in it. Hello? And then by praying in the Spirit, we edify ourselves. I love what Jude says, Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Building yourself up. So praying in the Spirit is the way you edify yourself. A couple of more scriptures I just want to give you really quickly. I love this passage in Romans 15, verse 14, where Paul says, he's kind of concluding, he's coming to the end of his letter, And he says, I myself am confident concerning you, my brother, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. The word admonish really means, a little stronger term, means to warn. You know, sometimes we see people who are maybe straying off a little bit this way or that way, or they're getting involved with something that you know it's going to bring harm to them. You know, hey, you know, that's not going to end well. It's not a good idea. And sometimes as Christians, we just tend to back off when what we should do is realize that, hey, you are full of goodness. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Yeah, come on. You are full of goodness, and you're filled with all knowledge, also able to admonish one another. You're able to go over to that brother or sister, put your arm around them, say, you know, I love you. You know, I care about you. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm saying. I feel like I want to give you this admonition. Or you don't have to put it that way. You just share it with them, you know. Speak the truth in love to them. I'm really concerned where this might take you. Concerned about you might just go over the edge on this. This might have some repercussions in your marriage, in your family, in your finances, in your health, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Paul speaks to the church, says, hey, you're full of goodness. You're able to do this. Don't put it all on me. Don't put it all on your pastors, your elders. The church can speak to itself, make edification of itself in love. Two more scriptures and I'm done. Paul also wrote, when the church sometimes gets into things, it's in 1 Timothy 1, where Paul speaks to Timothy and says, charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in the faith. So whenever you get off on some tangent that's not essential, it's not an essential issue, you should stand up and guard and fight for essential issues. I love what Augustine wrote. He said, you know, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, generosity. In other words, you're allowed to have your own heresy. If it's not essential, if it's not really an essential doctrine, well, hey, believe whatever you want. God will work it all out. But then he said, but in everything, love. In essentials, unity. So sometimes there's times that we just need to stand up and say, no, that is not the truth. This is an essential thing. We need to believe. We need to be all together on the same page. But whenever you get off on the endless argumentation on things that are not essential, what you're doing is, rather than that, Paul is saying, let there be godly edification, which is in the faith. That's what's in the faith. It's where we speak edification to one another, not get into arguments over remote passages somewhere in the Old Testament. Hello? Or some book that came out. Last of all, Paul is also addressing controversies that arose out of in Rome, because if you understand the history of Rome in the first century, there was a lot of Jews that had been, you know, basically exiled out of Jerusalem and out of Israel, and they came and they landed in Rome, and then the emperor there expelled them all, and so they were scattered, and there was only Gentiles left. And then the next emperor said, okay, you can come back. And so they came. Jews came back, and now there was a Jewish Gentile church. And so there was a church that was a lot of Gentiles, but now a lot of Jews. And Paul was writing them, and he starts dealing somewhere around Romans 14, 15. He starts talking about these situations that are like, you know, what you eat and what you don't eat, and one believes you can eat this, and you can't eat that. Another says you can drink this, you can't drink that. Somebody says, well, they worship on this day. Well, we worship on this day. You know, and he's just getting into all this. And he said, look, bottom line here is one thing. Paul brings it all down to one thing. Romans 14, 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. So in other words, don't get off into all this cultural stuff of, you know, what you do or what you think is acceptable. If a person says, well, I don't think eating meat is a good idea, you know, da-da-da-da-da, I'm vegan. Okay, whatever. Don't go there. Just, you know, God bless you, love you. Hey, what's Jesus been saying to you lately? This is what the Lord's been saying, sharing with me. You know what I mean? Get back to edification. Whether you eat meat or don't eat meat, or what day you think people should worship on or not worship on, or what, you know, what you should observe. You know, we should be observing this. Well, whatever. Okay, maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't. Whatever. Don't worry about it. Get back to pursue things that make for peace. I think that really reveals the heart of the church, is that what are we going after? You know, if we're going after things that make for peace and things by which we can mutually edify one another, then we know we're always in the right zone. Does that make sense? Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for abiding my ministry tonight in the Word. You know, it's interesting to me that the Scripture says that His truth will endure forever. Yes. Think about that. Why is the word endure? Why is it there? His truth will endure. It will endure all the assaults of falsehood in every generation, everything that's coming against truth. His truth will endure forever. When it's all said and done, God's truth is going to stand. He's going to have the last word. So you might as well get into alignment with it and say yes and amen. All right? Good. Well, the Lord is good. I have prayed for you guys before. I know I have. What's your names again? Tim? Tim and Jolene. Well, I just join your hands here for a minute, and you're married now, you can do that. I just hear the Lord delighting over you two. And God has brought a real combination of personalities together, which is so often the case in marriage, you know. Opposites attract. The question is, can they blend? but I just want to say to you guys, I feel like the heart of God is delighting over you. He's delighting over you. You guys, God has got you in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing. And if there's an exhortation from the Spirit tonight, it's continue. Continue. Don't let up an inch. Let go of anything that's been poured into your spirit, into your heart. Just continue going forward. Keep your eyes fixed on the prize. God is going to lead you into even more fruitful pathways are ahead of you in every area of your life. More fruitful pathways. Good things are ahead as you pursue everything that God is speaking and saying into your hearts and into your lives. And again, I just feel the pleasure of the Lord, and the rejoicing of the Lord is on you guys. I'm just going to say this. I feel there's some promotion on you, my brother, and there's increase and promotion that's going to happen in the natural. I think, in fact, I'm just going to be bold, and I believe it's happening right now. And I believe that there's going to be more, and it's because, you know, God trusts you with it. God trusts you with increase, and He trusts you with promotion. And so God is always looking for faithful stewards. What He puts in our hands, He expects faithfulness. So I just release that to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good stuff. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I want to pray for you guys. I'm sorry. It's Brad and Jen. I mean, we had lunch a couple of years ago, and I know your history, and I remember a lot of that conversation. I don't know anything about, you know, your role or your purpose here in the house and church and so on, but I want to say to you that God has expanded your horizons, and there's been a real expansion of your ability to embrace what God is saying, what God is doing, and I feel like part of you felt like you were leaving something behind, but I feel like the Lord has brought you into the best of both worlds, brought you into a balance, and your hearts both witness with it, and I feel like there's an establishment that you guys, not only for you, but for everybody who comes in contact with you, that you have an establishing ministry, an establishing effect on other people. And through the communication of your lips and the communication of your lives, God is going to bring establishment to other people. He's going to bring establishment to other couples. I feel like you two are going to be part of a network, in that sense, in this house, that are going to really strengthen believers and strengthen couples and strengthen people in the very thing that God has called this house to do. And so, like I say, it's an expansive thing. It's not a small thing. But I feel like the Lord has already enlarged you, but I feel like more enlargement is coming. And you know, the thing is, there's a two-edged sword of being faithful, because when you're faithful, you get to do more. But, you know, more is given to you. You know, if you're faithful in one thing, God says, that's great, I'm going to give you some more. And it's almost like, okay, Lord, I thought we were doing enough already or involved enough. But I do feel like also there's coming a point in your life where some things are going to be let go, because it's not because they're not good, not important, but there's higher priorities coming and responsibilities that you're going to take up. And God's going to refine that focus. So bless you guys. Hope you receive that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, I'm just going to try to keep things brief and move around a little bit here. But what's your name?
Sherry.
Sherry, a quick word. Nothing earth-shattering. But I feel really strongly that you are a joy giver. God has anointed you with the oil of joy. And I think that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed you so that you can bring joy. And people, it's like a light bulb, you know, and there's darkness, and then you turn the light on, and people begin to see things the way they really are. Well, with joy, it has the same effect. You know, people are living in tension. They're living, they're striving, they're under the burden of life. They don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden, a person comes along who's got that anointing of joy. And it's like, it's almost like it begs the question, why are you so happy? So I want you to know that the Lord really delights in you. You're operating at your best when you've got joy all over you. So stay in the place of joy. You're a joy bringer. You're a joy maker. And God's going to use that joy to bring light and life to other people. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I just want to pray for you. I saw you this morning, and I felt that the Lord just wanted to encourage you today. What's your name?
Deanne.
Yeah. Okay. Is this your...
Isaiah.
Is this your son? Okay. Deanne, I feel that the Spirit of the Lord really wants to encourage you tonight. I feel like there's been some things that have been like heavy weights upon your life and upon your mind, and just like, you know, I mean, we all have struggles, but I feel like you've been under the pressure of that and of late. And it's like sometimes when we're under a duress and a struggle and, you know, for a time, just begins to affect everything. And I feel like the Spirit of the Lord is just coming to strengthen your heart tonight, encourage you, let you know that, again, you know, I feel like it's like cast all your care, the emphasis on all, cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. And God cares for you more deeply than you really understand. And God has been God for a long time. And there's nothing that we have or carry that intimidates Him. So as you learn to cast, you know, the things that come in, I feel like it's a daily thing. There's things that you kind of pray about, and then it's like it comes back. And it's a matter of just saying, Lord, I cast that on You. I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm just not going to worry about it. I cast it on You. You are my God. You're going to look after it. You're going to take care of it. And, you know, somehow God shows up because He responds to faith. And your faith is to cast it. To say, Lord, I can't deal with this and I don't know how to deal with it. So I'm going to cast it on You. I'm going to trust You. I'm going to put it all on You. And there's nothing you can do that's going to weigh Him down or intimidate Him or feel like, you know, He wants to toss it back at you. He'll take everything. He'll take it all. Does that witness with you? Father, I thank You for Isaiah tonight. I just thank You for this young man. And Father, I thank You for the grace of God that, Lord, that he's right here tonight in this meeting. And the Spirit of the Lord is watering his heart too. And Father, I thank You, Lord, that there's nothing missed. There's no opportunity, Father, that's going to escape everything You have for him. And I just bless him tonight. I bless what You're doing in his heart. I bless what You're doing in his spirit. I bless what You're doing in his mind. And Father, I thank You that You love him just exactly the way he is. And Lord, You are going to continue to work in him and grow him. And there's a wonderful childlike trust and faith that's in his heart. And I can see that he cares a lot for mom. And so, Lord, I just bless him tonight in Your wonderful name. And I thank You for every door and every opportunity that is going to come his way because of Your hand of mercy upon his life. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Good. We were talking last night. I can't remember your name. Chris and Jordan. Chris and Jordan. Jordy. Sorry. Yeah. Why don't you guys come out here? Just easier to get to you if you come to me. I'm going to pray for you guys. I know you shared a little bit of your journey with me last night. It's not like I know everything about you, but I hear in my heart that there is a new assignment coming to you. A new assignment coming to you. And I feel as though the Lord is putting a bit of a yank on you. Just pulling you out a little bit. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, come here. And it's a good thing. It's not in any way going to overwhelm you or overtake you or harm you. But I feel like it's like that scripture that I was sharing from Paul. It says, I'm confident that you're full of goodness. And it's like God has more confidence in what he's done in you than you have. And you guys are here because you wouldn't quit. You guys are here because you wouldn't just walk away and you wouldn't give up. That's why you're here. And I feel like it's time for a new assignment. It's time to just forget about, you know, whatever circumstances or situations are behind you, and now to say, okay, this is a new time, new hour, new day. We're here. We're reporting for duty. And we're just going to dive back in. Spirit of God's going to refresh you as you do it. You know, he's going to refresh you as you do it. I feel like there's been a waiting in your heart to say, oh, Lord, when I'm ready, when I feel refreshed, forget it. Forget it. Forget it. Forget about it. It's like I'm reminded of the 10 lepers that came to Jesus for healing, and he said, well, go show yourselves to the priest. And he didn't do anything. It's like, so by faith, they had to believe that as they did what Jesus told them to do, that they'd be healed, and they were. They just went, and Jesus healed them. And so the same thing here, man. It's just like, as you just accept that there's a new assignment in God, and this is a new day, it's a new hour for you. I know that can sound very cliche-ish, but I just really feel like that is God's word to you. And he's just pulling you out, yanking you out, and say, come on, man, step back into it. And as you do, you're going to feel the refreshing of God upon you. Amen? You've been waiting for him to get this word. Yeah, you have. And, you know, just showing your hands together. I just want to bless you guys as a couple. I think you're a great couple. I think God has really done some great things in your heart. Yeah. God's mined out some stuff deep in you, and there's goodness in you. There's virtue in you. There's a foundation of God in your lives. Yeah. And I feel as though God is just, you know, really ready. He's ready to work for you guys. As you open your mouth and begin to ask, God is saying, ask large. Don't ask small. Ask large. Ask big. Believe God for big things. Believe God for great things. God's ready to move. He's ready to work for you. He's ready to move on your behalf. He's ready to move on family members. He's ready to reach into the workplace. He's ready to reach people that you've been thinking about and have been on your heart. God is ready to do something. So be encouraged tonight and know that God will work for you. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you. I thought it was a good word. I'm hoping it was the Holy Spirit. You know, it's the thing about the prophetic. I tell my church this all the time. I said, please pray for me. I'm going to do some ministry. And if God doesn't show up, it's going to be a disaster. So, but God is faithful, isn't he? He's really faithful. What is your name? Polka dot, yeah. Marianne? Huh?
What? Yeah, Marianne.
Marianne, can you stand this tonight? Am I going to, if I give you a word, are you going to be okay?
Oh, yes.
Good. You know, Marianne, I just looked at you and it's just like something popped right into my spirit. You know, Marianne, I see you praying. I see you just, you know, you're not the demonstrative, wild, crazy, charismatic prayer. But you do pray, and you just lift things to God, things that come, things that you see things, and you say, Jesus, Lord, Father, just move, just work, just do what needs to be done there. And in your quiet faith, God wants to cause you to know that he's hearing your prayers. It's like when you're whispering those prayers, they're going directly from your heart right into the ears of Jesus. And I feel like God just wants to encourage you to know that, Marianne, tonight. He wants you to know that God hears your prayers. You have a mission. Your time is not finished yet. You are useful to the kingdom. And you have fruit to bear yet just by uttering the prayers that God puts into your heart and into your spirit. I see you praying for little ones. I see you praying, you know, just seeing things and saying, oh, I just feel I need to pray for that. Just need to pray for that. And it's like when you're doing it, you're just causing the Spirit of the Lord to reach down and touch that situation, that circumstance. And God, in doing that, God's going to touch you. God's going to touch you. Literally, I feel like there's some healing that needs to come here tonight. And I think the Lord wants to encourage you. He's touching your physical body tonight. And Father, let's stretch out our hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, we thank you, Lord, for everywhere the blood flows tonight. We thank you for health. We thank you for strength. We thank you, Father, for every report that has been given that's negative, that God, you're speaking health, that your word is life and health to all her flesh. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for it, oh God. I think that's good. I think that's really good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I just want to say something real quickly. Your name?
Dorothy.
Dorothy. Now, Dorothy, I've never spoken to you, met you before, but I see you writing. I see you writing. I just see a pen in hand. I also see a computer, and I see you just expressing your heart and journaling and praying and journaling and writing. And I think that there's even stuff beyond that. I think that God's equipping you for, you know, even in the natural, in your work, there's writing is going to have an application here. And God's given you an ability, and he's expressing himself through that. So I just bless that in your life and in your heart. Yeah. Does that witness with you? Yeah? You know what I'm saying? Where are you from?
China.
Mainland China?
Yeah.
Whereabouts? Beijing. That's a big city. Yeah. How long have you been in Canada?
Almost 4 years.
Almost 4 years. So are you living here now or studying here?
Studying.
Are you going to go back home?
Probably not.
Probably not. I don't blame you. God's got his hand on you, Dorothy. In a wonderful way. God's got his hand on you. What are you studying? What are you studying?
I'm still in high school.
Oh, you're still in high school. Well, that's okay. High school's good. I almost finished high school. In fact, I went to a very high school. That is really wonderful. That's awesome. That's amazing. So good. Has this been good?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I think we'll, you know, it's almost 8, and apparently we have fire and Smokies. Is that what they're called? Smokies. I don't want to stop. I don't want to hinder any Smokies from getting consumed tonight. So God bless you. Thanks for allowing me to share tonight.
Before we run away, and I didn't want John to just run away either, I think I want to take a moment, and maybe it's witnessing with you, but I want to bless John and Jan tonight. As much as what they come and they edify us and they speak words of life into our lives, I believe we have words for them. And so if you do, come on up. John, Jan, I want you to come up tonight. There's Smokies waiting. If you've got a word, why don't you come? We're going to lay hands, we'll pray. And John, when you started speaking this morning, it feels like you've been speaking for
I
a day.
Maybe
and when you, maybe. I just had a picture of your arms being bound behind your back. One over the, it was weird because the one was bound from the top and the other one from the back. And no matter what you did, it didn't feel like you could get undone. And little did you know that it was a clip. It was just clipped in. And all it needed was two fingers to help unclip it. And I know Jan is your champion. And I felt there is a season where you find yourselves in your current situation where it feels like sometimes you pull your one arm up and it pulls the other one down. And Jan comes with words of encouragement and life and songs of thanksgiving and worship and what we've heard already through testimonies and helps unclip that decision that needs to be made that makes it easy to get the full range of motion in your arms again. And I believe it's a season of still of more fruitfulness to come. There's not a relief now and now I stop. But there's a release now to do even more than what God's called you to do. So I bless you with that word tonight. And I pray that you will find the release together.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Amen. I see there's some running.
Yeah, I was reading through my notes coming to camp, and a bunch of those notes and words was things just John and Jan spoke over me and Yolani. And as I'm reading them, I started to tear up. I just started to get emotional because God is showing me his goodness. And what John and Jan has done is given me a glimpse of a future with God, just a joy of serving, of loving people, of bearing fruit, not for a moment. We're not this flower that comes and goes an instant, but there's a lifelong testimony, and there's a generation after John, and another generation that's being raised up. And the things you've even spoken over me and Yolani, and I'm reading it, and some of it is, we're walking in, and some of it is not here yet, and I'm saying, Jesus, thank you for sending people who just wanted to love us. They didn't even know us, and they loved us. And God, we need 1,000 of these men for Canada, for North America. Yes. Jesus, I pray that you will have spiritual children everywhere you put your feet, everywhere you lay your hand, that there will be sons and daughters that just multiply and multiply, and something that is not coming out of you, John, it's not coming out of Jan, it's from the throne of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And it's unstoppable. Thank you, Jesus.
I just want to pray the word on my heart for you, John. And Lord, the word that's so clear to me is galvanize, that John is going to galvanize leaders, release leaders.
Amen.
Lord, that the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that has raised him up and brought him up, it's in this galvanizing of leaders, it's a release of leaders. It's a multiplication of the life of Christ in John. And so, Father, I pray today that you'd open doors to do that. I pray, Lord, that he would find himself in a larger place than he's ever been before. Only in the eyes of this world did he come close to death, but in your eyes, Lord, you showed him a greater future. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd gather around him leaders who are hungry for truth, hungry for the presence of the leading of the Spirit of God. And that we would see people released in prophetic ministry and in a love for the truth. And John would call people and challenge people and raise up leaders, Lord. Be a leader of leaders. And I thank you, Lord, for what you have already done in his heart to prepare him for it. I just believe you're going to do it, Lord.
As I was thinking about you, I felt like the relationship that you have with God, there is a certain, I don't know if the word is right, but a mellowness to it. And I was thinking, who does that resemble? And what I felt in my heart is like Abraham, and I'm reminded of where they have such a good relationship, and Abraham goes, what if there's 50 righteous? And then it's like, what if there's 4? He just keeps going, and I feel like there's no pretense with God with you. Like, you don't feel like you need to go in and tear down a bunch of mountains before you can face him and speak to him. I feel like you have a really good relationship, and God loves that about you, that there's no pretense, that you come straight on and you say what you feel like you need to, and you don't put on airs or try to. You just know God and he knows you, and you have a very good relationship, just like Abraham had, where you can just have a conversation. And I felt like that's something that God loves and really appreciates about who you are.
Get behind me.
Don't fight over, girl.
I just feel like the journey you've walked and the faith that you've walked through, there's such a authority and a calmness in the presence that you God is like giving you this mantle of authority and his peace, and it's just like this tornado can be going around and the cows are flying and everything is crazy, but it's just like calm, and there's a peace because of the authority that God gives you. And yeah, we just thank you, God, for John and Jan, and we thank you for that authority, that mantle that you give over them. And we just pray that we will see that walked out more in their lives. And we thank you that you spared both of them, Lord, and we are so grateful. And yeah, oh Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would continue to be with them and that they would continue to seek you in humbleness and just in full surrender, Lord. And we thank you for this example of a great man and a great woman, but so humble and just broken in front of you, Lord. Thank you that they're such a great example for us. And we just bless them, Lord Jesus, and we bless their ministry. We bless their church. We bless every plane that they go on, every church that they visit, that you would touch John's mouth and his tongue, and that he would speak words from heaven, from your heart into people's lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I just came up because when you were here not quite 2 years ago, I guess, when we were all masked up and we could barely understand each other, the girl in the pink hair, we were sitting together and you spoke a word over us. And I can't tell you how many times we've been like, remember that John, that word from John, and we've played it and encouraged each other and been encouraged and just listened like over and over again. And it is, it's been like a billow. It's been like an air pump inflating us in seasons that have felt dry and harder. And I think what was about it that was so powerful to me is it was just you speaking identity. It's not necessarily rocket science or, you know, it's you hearing from God identity. And for us, it's just like God sees us and he speaks through you. And it was, I think, coming from somebody who didn't have a mother and a father who spoke a lot of identity, that you guys do that you speak identity, and how encouraging and how life-giving that can be, and that we can listen to it again and again, and that your simple word, if it's simple, can change life in an ongoing way. And so I just want to say, when you wonder if your words make a difference, I know you know, but just from two single gals who, just you being a father and loving people where they're at, it makes a difference. So thank you for being mothers and fathers who speak identity, who speak what God sees in people, and that you don't let the external, that you don't let those things limit. So I just pray more for you. Thank more you. Identity.
Quick.
I just saw the two of you under an apple tree, and I just saw that there were apples falling, and I saw a cornucopia, the good old Thanksgiving cornucopias we used to have at the front of churches, just full, jammed with fruit. And I just know from your lives that this now is a season of reaping that fruit and seeing the fruit, literally you rejoicing and laughing and catching the apples and enjoying the fruit of your ministry, years and years of sowing in times of tears, in times of joy, in times of sorrow, wondering, is it even worth it? What are we doing this for? Is it hurting our kids? Is it helping our kids? You're going to see fruit, abundant, overwhelming, massive fruit coming into your lives, and you will not go into eternity until you see it here on this earth. We'll all see it in eternity, the little seeds we planted unknowingly even, but you're going to see that fruit here, and God is going to give you that joy and that pleasure.
So I am going to cut it now. We've got kids and we've got stuff to do, but if you have a word for John and Jan, don't think that you can't share it. If you've got a word for someone in this congregation that you have felt, even in a moment when John's preaching, you feel something for PJ, he's bluebird number what? You can share it with one another. With all my heart, I believe this is what John's been equipping us to do. So don't stop it down. But explode. Brad will share about that tomorrow. Have a great evening. Have a conversation with someone you don't know, if you don't know someone here. Find a fire pit and talk with someone. And be edified, be encouraged, be lifted up tonight. Thanks for coming. And remember, we still have Sunday tomorrow. So we'll meet over here again, 10 a.m., I believe, 8:30 for breakfast. And remember to pack up between or after breakfast, before the service. Okay. If you've got any questions, ask Country or Josh or Leonard. Bless you guys. Thanks.
Thank you. More promotion, bud?
Yes, sir.
More promotion?
Yeah, get promotion last time.
Oh, you're still waiting on the last? This is like a double promotion, really.